All right, folks, coming back from five. We'll see some raised hands. Anybody have any question they'd like to ask our panel? Okay, ma'am, you go first. No, raise your hand, it's okay.
My name is Karen, and a couple of you made reference to ten steps, and I've seen various written ten steps, but in other programs, I was wondering what you have on the written ten step and why people seem to have moved away from doing that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you want to address it to anybody in particular, or?
You should repeat the question, probably. What does a written 10-step look like? And I guess in your own experience, why have you moved away from doing violence?
I can speak to that. I've seen at least six different written 10 steps. I've seen the character defects listed, and then the negative and the positive, where you have to each day of the month figure out where you are on the scale, and like patience and impatience, and figure out where you are. And I've always felt that I'm tired at the end of the day. And Jack made reference to this. Do I want to rehash it? Do I want to, really dig it up and spend the time? The one that's effective to me as far as a written 10th step, which is really doing the fourth step, the column. If I'm having a resentment about something that doesn't seem to be lifted, I'll put the person's name down and write down the issue and then figure out what part of it self it's affecting. Is it affecting my self-esteem? Is it my money? Is it, is it a fear thing? And I really just try to work across that step four and get to my part in it. And that's really, and then that helps me. What part did I play in this? And so when I have a sponsee, a lot of times they'll do their 10th step by just taking a resentment sheet that you can download easily and working across the columns to see how, they can change. Was I dishonest? Was I selfish? Am I fearful? Am I being self-seeking? Just kind of look at, what's coming up. There are many forms. In New Jersey, they put out a whole book with a whole bunch of you write down what your abstinence was, you write down what your exercise. There's AEIOU, where, your abstinence, your exercise, what did I do for myself, what did I do for others, and you, what can I uncover? So I think they're all online. I've never felt them so effective, personally. I think the spot check works best for me.
In answering that, I just have a basic discomfort often with the writing, as I mentioned to you. But I think that it is important if something is bothering me, and and I know somebody that I can call depending upon the hour, then to do that and get it taken care of, and if it's possible to. Because the book talks about when we retire at night, the importance of taking care of a problem here and now. So if I can... Oh, I got it. This morning in the paper, this lady had written a deal there talking about somebody that had done something to her, and she immediately retaliated, and it just snowballed. And so, the advice was you already screwed things up, so, make this effort and then don't do anything else. And so I had that. This lady that I knew and liked had responded to something that I wrote, and it upset me. So I immediately drafted this email to respond to her. But before I hit the send deal, I called this guy. And I told him this was, you know, righteous anger, justifiable. You know. And he said, you know, I think it would be best if you just let go of it and not respond. You know, how can you say that to me, Marilyn? You know, I have been faulted. And, you know, that's what I did. I just let go of it. I didn't respond, which would have done what this letter thing this morning was and just upped the ante. And I could have lost a very important friendship. But I didn't. I took the advice that was given. I called the guy and asked for his opinion. And he gave it. And it was just the right thing to do. So that I didn't then have to turn around and go back to her and say, I'm really sorry that this thing snowballed. I apologize for my part. I hate making amends. So I try to give thought before. Next. Very good, Robin.
Sure. Yeah, I just want to respond to the part of your question about why do people, you know, why is there a moving away from written amends? I hope that I'm not giving the impression that I've evolved so much that I no longer need to do a written 10-step every night. I had a serenity about me when I was doing it every day written that doesn't compare to not doing that every day. For me, it's just my life is busy and crazy and I work long days. And what I've never not done, though, is that spot check. When I feel uncomfortable about something and I'm holding on to it and there's just something a little bit odd in me, that then I go back and do a mini 4-9 on it, and that's my 10 step. So I recommend a written 10 step if you've got time and energy. And I there were times when I did that my program was, you know, it was different. So, yeah.
I agree.
Okay. Someone else gave me a, let's see, Jack, Roberta, Gloria talked about if we have justifiable anger and self-righteous so what's wrong with that, and how does it affect our compulsive eating and other disorders, holding on to justifiable hurts? How do they harm us? Roberta will start with you and then go across.
You're holding on to justifiable anger and justifiable hurts. I guess I don't know exactly how to start saying that, but you know, the big book says, you know, how resentment is the number one offender, and it also says how you can't hold on to anger. We're not built for it. And anything that's going to block me, block my channel to God, the sunlight of the Spirit can come through, and that self-righteousness and that justifiable anger is a character defect in a way, because it's kind of, you know, presumes that I'm right and that my position is right. And I had enough of that arrogance in, you know, coming into this program, and I've spent years on trying to dissolve it and to become more human and make mistakes, and it's okay. So when I get into that justifiable anger, it's a very dangerous position, and I know that it will not do me any good. You know, I can somebody in program used to say, do you want to be right or do you want to be loved? I don't want to be right anymore. I don't have to prove to anyone that I'm right. When you're right, shut up. And that has helped me to let go of justifiable anger. Not to say that it doesn't come up sometimes. I got a situation yesterday where I got a note from a bill collector, and it turns out the cable system on Long Island said I owed them $170. And when I went online, it didn't show that. It showed a zero balance. So my first thing is, you know, well, this company is trying to pull the wool over my eyes. And I get those emotions, and I start reacting. And then I have to take that pause. I've learned that God is in the pause. And just calm down and that, you know, take care of business, tell them when the equipment was picked up, and do what I can, and let go of the rest. So if I don't stand on that justifiable anger, then I don't get hurt by it.
You know, I can't tell anybody whether justifiable anger is a bad thing for you. I can tell you for me, it's 3 years ago my father killed himself, and I realized that life is really short, and I could spend time being angry, or I could spend time enjoying the beautiful weather and the wonderful people that I have in my life. And for me, it's just a filler, and it makes me hungry. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why when I'm sad, I feel hungry instead. Like, why my wiring got crossed. I know I'm a compulsive overeater, so I get that that's the way that it is for me. But justifiable anger, there's something about it that is so... for me, it's all about ego. It's all about I'm right and you are wrong, and it's very divisive. And, you know, I mean, I knew this even before I lost my father, but I just realized I want to spend my time on this earth connecting with my fellows and being close to you and doing whatever I can to not put things in between my connections. And that's when I tend to be happier, and that's when food doesn't speak to me. Like, you know, I heard someone quoted at a meeting this morning that if you feel like food is talking to you, it's probably you throwing your voice. And I'd love that, because I feel like if you hear food talking to you, it's probably you throwing your voice. And I don't want whoever's voice it is. I don't want it. So for me, when I'm in that justified, not to say that I don't get angry. I think that there's a time and a place for anger, and to talk it through and to own my stuff. And my wife and I, because we're both in program, we have those kinds of conversations where I'll say, you know, something about that conversation that you and I just had left me feeling uncomfortable. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's my ego. I'm not really sure, but I need to talk about this for a minute. And that it's not, there's no self-justification in it. There's no ego. My heels are not dug into the ground. It's like I sort of, there's room to move through it. So that's my experience.
I think I covered it during my share, so unusual, okay. I'm passing.
Right. Well, that's the next one we have. Did you have an event that was super hard because of the fear of the other party's reaction, response? What tools did you use to overcome the fear?
Okay, so Roberta will take you first.
I think I mentioned that in part of my share, the fear that I had to speak to my father, whom I loved so dearly and was so close to me and gave me anything I wanted, and yet I'm stealing from him. And I just, at that point, I prayed about it. My sponsor encouraged me to do it, and you know, he just brushed it right off his back, like I should have had more faith that, of course, he would, you know. And you know, I get that. I think some of this, I don't know if it's inherited or I've seen it. You know, he was a businessman, and he didn't always do things on the up and up either. So I think it was something that I kind of secretly admired in him, the getting away with stuff. So he probably related to it on that level, but... that was my most fearful event.
You know, as I said, I haven't done all my amends yet, but I think I was afraid of all of them and what the reactions were going to be. And I just took God with me. You know, I talked about it with people. I talked about it with my sponsor. I figured out. I made sure that it wasn't the way I was making amends was really about making amends to another person and not about justifying my behavior. And then I sort of, it's that thing of like, feel the fear and do it anyway. I just trudge through it because that's what we do. So that's my experience.
You know, I think just about any amends I've had to do has had a certain amount of angst to it. A while back, a guy that I sponsor lent me his mouse to take with me with a laptop that I had that I was lent by somebody else, and it never went with me because I couldn't find it. I put it in the car, and it's like it disappeared through a loophole in the universe. And so I didn't want to call this guy back and say, look, I don't know how I lost it, but I lost it. And so I kept delaying it and delaying it, and the longer I delay it, the harder it usually becomes to do it. And somehow I think he broached the subject to me, and I told him what had happened, and he told me it was no big deal because, as he had told me before, he didn't really care for the mouse anyhow. So, I mean, it was all much ado for nothing, and that's often the way that it can be. Most of the amends that I've made have been well accepted. I've felt very fortunate because I've heard about cases where they were not well accepted. But I think that most people tend to be understanding, and often they don't even remember the event in question. So, that's it.
Okay, let's give ourselves a hand. All right.